I jumped onto YouTube this week and spent some time just typing in some stuff, typing in things like tolerance or truth, typing in things like opinions, you know, just to see what's out there, what's out on YouTube. The wonders and dangers of the internet, right? It's an incredible thing, what is out on YouTube, truly. It was a great reminder for me this week of the incredible devastation of the Christian circles, at least those who perhaps call themselves Christians, who have opinions that have turned into convictions, that have turned into intolerances that the mind can't even conceive of. I listened to several 5 to 10 minute blurbs on things you can't even begin to imagine, that people were stating as absolutes, that were so ridiculous and so beyond me that I couldn't even imagine someone would be willing to put themselves out on YouTube and say things that insane. But it's out there all over the place. And these aren't crazy people. These aren't people that you look at and go, oh, you have mental problems. These are people that for all intent and purposes, you look at and go, you should know better. You should have an idea of what's going on. You know, it is no wonder to me, no wonder to me, that when the world looks into the church, the first idea that they walk away with is judgment and intolerance. And it really doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, as a matter of fact, looking at what's out there and the people, you know how it goes, the people that are most verbal are always the people that are most crazy. And you watch and you go, wow, that's incredible. So tonight we have two issues on the table, right? We've got truth on the one side of the table, and we've got tolerance on the other side of the table. Two massive camps in our world, especially in the circles of religion or Christianity. And we have to try tonight and unravel how the two fit together if they do at all, and if they don't, where we land, and which of the two we need to stand in. Because that's a huge question. Both of those have significant camps, and those camps shout and scream about which one is most important. And if you listen to the camps, you would be convinced without a shadow of a doubt that tolerance and truth are absolutely, diabolically opposed. You cannot have truth and tolerance. You cannot have tolerance and truth. That's what you would think if you listened in to the two camps. On the one hand, you have the camp of truth, and what most of them do is they stand in their camp, they grab a hold of truth, and then whatever they deem to be truth, they say, in order to be uncompromising in the truth, we have to make sure that anything that is not part of our truth is not tolerated, period. Because if it is tolerated, then we are compromising our truth, and therefore, we have stepped into a world that is dangerous. So we stand here, this is truth, this is the only truth, the only thing we believe, and the reality is that if anyone dares to try to oppose our truth, we will fight to the death and make sure that everybody understands this is truth. On the other hand, you have the camp of tolerance standing over here that state emphatically that if you hold to any truth that you deem your truth, that can only be one truth, then you are intolerant. They say that if you do not allow anyone to believe anything and in any way, shape, or form you step into that world and oppose their truth, you are intolerant and you should be shifted out of the tolerance camp. Well, if those are the two definitions of truth and tolerance, then the reality is that both are absolutely diabolically opposed. They cannot come together. But the reality is that neither of those camps, I think, have any idea what they're talking about when it comes to truth or tolerance, because the two are actually very different when you actually start looking into how they are truly defined. I'm going to start tonight with tolerance, because tolerance tends to be the camp that we in the church would stand against, not for, the whole idea of tolerance. Let me just share with you, as I was thinking through tolerance this week, what would happen if we believed wholeheartedly, if everybody believed wholeheartedly, that whatever truth you hold to, if somebody opposes that truth in any way, they are intolerant and therefore bad. If that was something that we as a society grabbed a hold of, it would change some dramatic things about us. Let me give you an example. We always put tolerance when it comes to religion, we throw it into that mix. Or when it comes to philosophies, politics, we throw it into those mixes. But let's throw it into some other mixes in life for a second. If I walked into this church tonight and I saw my children running around, and one of you decided that it was a good idea to grab one of my children and start beating them because you had the urge to do that. You were frustrated with my two-year-old and he had broken something of yours, so you thought beating him would be a fantastic idea. If tolerance was simply the act of allowing anyone to believe whatever they want, then I would be wrong to step in and stop you from beating my child. Because who am I to decide that beating my child is the wrong thing? But all of us would sit here and say, that's insane. If you come into my house and you in some way negatively affect my family, if I walk out of my house and you are in the process of stealing my car, all of those things, we would all agree, it would be only appropriate not to tolerate stuff like that. You would step in and say, excuse me, I hate to tell you this, but beating my child with a baseball bat is just not something I'm going to tolerate. So either you stop or I'm going to start beating you with a baseball bat. No, it's not exactly what we do. But you step into a world where you go, listen, we live in a world where not tolerating many things is perfectly appropriate. But as soon as we step into opinions, ideas, philosophies, or what we call truth, then we're supposed to step back and say everything is true. Part of the reason why people feel that way is because we, as people who hold to what we would call absolute truths, oftentimes portray an attitude of intolerance. And an attitude of intolerance is something that, frankly, we are called not to have as believers when we step into that. I want to just read to you the dictionary definition for tolerance real quick. It's very, very interesting. Listen to this. Oh, I don't want to join that. No. Go away. Okay, here we go. Listen to this. Tolerance. A fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward those whose opinions, practices, race, religion, nationality, etc., differ from one's own. A freedom from bigotry. That's how the dictionary defines tolerance. Or it says this, a fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward opinions and practices that differ from one's own, an interest in or concern for ideas or opinions foreign to one's own. It's interesting, isn't it? It's kind of an odd description of tolerance. It's not that extreme side of tolerance that you so often hear about. It's just the concept that when you step into a world where there are other opinions, other thoughts, other concepts, that you show interest in those concepts, that you are objective, fair, and permissive toward them. That's what you do. And if you are those things, then according to the dictionary, you are tolerant and not intolerant. Let's just take a look at this for a second. I did some other checks on this because I read that and I'm like, okay, what does permissive mean, for instance, if we're supposed to have a permissive attitude? It says, the characteristic of being acceptant of something, a social behavior or opinion, that might disagree with your own to the point that you are interested in it. Okay, let's take a look at this. Let's look at what bigotry says, because it says, you know, tolerance is the state of the opposite of bigotry. Stubborn and complete intolerance of any creed, belief, or opinion that differs from one's own. A stubborn and complete intolerance. I love when the dictionary does that. Tolerance, it's the lack of bigotry. Bigotry, it's the lack of intolerance. You guys are really not helping me that much here. But you get the idea, right? In the dictionary, it says to us that a person that is tolerant of somebody else is someone that can step into their world and that can pay attention to their opinions with objectivity and fairness, and does it in such a manner that they are not stubborn towards what they hear. That's a very interesting concept to me, because very often when you see the Christian world that people get to look into, the words that come to my mind are stubborn and really, after reading definitions like this, somewhat bigotry in their attitude toward others. So if we're going to be tolerant, we should show interest in others' ideas and be fair and objective toward them. So can we do that while holding to truth? Well, let's talk about truth for a second. We live in a global society, and there are currently two types of truth out there. There is absolute truth, and there is relative truth. Absolute truth says that something is true, and by definition, because it is absolute in its truth, it is a truth that will not change and cannot change. Therefore, anything that is not that truth is, by definition, untruth. See? That's absolute truth. I am 36 years old. I mean, it doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you think. That's how old I am, and that is an absolute truth. And you can change it, you can shape it, but it doesn't change it. It's what I am. Relative truth says truth cannot be absolute, so truth is determined by belief. Whatever you believe, as long as you believe it with enough sincerity, it will become true. So if you believe, you look at me and you believe with all sincerity that I am actually 40 years old, if you believe it long enough, hard enough, and with enough sincerity, it will become true because it'll be your truth. So we live in a global society that says, if we want to get along, all of us, we cannot be intolerant. So therefore, if we have absolute truths, by definition, we're going to have to be intolerant because we're going to disagree with other people's truths. And so therefore, we can't have absolute truth. So let's all just have relative truth. Let's all agree that whatever you believe is good, as long as you believe it with all your heart. Of course, you do run into problems back where we started with tolerance, like if I believe that it's okay for me to take what is yours and not ask permission. Well, that just happens to be my belief system, doesn't make it wrong, does it? So you start running into issues like that where the truths don't work well together because they're diabolically opposed to the idea of societal structure. Everything we do is based on absolute truth. 2 + 2 = 4. It could be 7, might be 10. Who knows? Maybe it's 1. I would have loved that world because I'm good at talking to people. So if that were true, man, I would have gotten straight A's in school all the way through. Because I'd have been able to argue with any professor, look, I don't care if you believe it's 4, I believe it's 3. Hence, my answer is correct. But we don't get to do that. Do we history tests ever, anybody? 1786. Well, that's just what your textbook says. I thought it was 1623. And I like that truth better. You have to mark it correct. See, we can't do that, right? Because absolute truths are needed for us to continue because by definition they're true. But if you have an absolute truth and you have tolerance, you can't bring the two together because intolerance is the disagreement of any opinion. Except we've just discovered that intolerance doesn't say anything about that in the dictionary. It simply says you have to be fair and objective with every opinion brought to you. Well, can we do that and hold to truth? Can we hold to a truth and be fair and objective with every opinion that comes to us? Think about this for a second now. If we have a truth that we have discovered and we know it is true and we have studied it and we understand it to be true because we have dug into everything about it, the more deeply we hold to that truth, the more confident we are in that truth, the more freedom we have to be tolerant. Why? Because if you hold to a truth that you know is true, and you've studied it, and you've seen it, and you understand it, and you can defend it, then you'll be able to walk into any other opinion on the planet, and you won't have to fight it. You will be able to gently and carefully, fairly and objectively, have a discussion with that person about their particular truth. Because if your truth is absolute, what does it mean? That no matter what you bring it against, it will prove itself to be true. If it is not absolute or if it is false, then at some point you're going to bring it against something and you're going to go, oh, who would have guessed? My truth is not true after all. And if we are truly seekers of the truth, then what we ought to be doing is digging into everything we can to discover whether what we believe is true. Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Did he come to rescue us from darkness, to die on a cross and rescue us from our sins and give us eternal life with a God that exists in heaven and has a plan for our lives? Is that true? Well, if it is, then what fear do we have to respectfully, fairly, and objectively face the opinions of anybody else on the planet? We can. with confidence. But if we are afraid that that might not be true, and we have to protect it from anything that might in some way shake it, then we cannot be tolerant any longer. Because anything we allow in might shake our truth, change it, and therefore we will no longer have truth. That's how most churches function, believe it or not. Most churches function with the ideology that says, if you, the congregation, should find out all those wonderful truths out there that the world has to hold, you will let go of the truth of Jesus, run for your life, and never believe again. So to protect you from all that horror, we'll tell you, don't pay any attention to it because it's evil. And we become intolerant. Oddly enough, in Scripture, we are called to a completely different attitude than intolerance. I want you to grab your Bibles because we're going to spend some time in them, and I want to show you a couple of things. If you don't have a Bible under the chairs, there's a bunch of Bibles, so grab them. We're going to go to a couple of verses tonight, and I just want to lay before you what God speaks to us through the apostles and through Christ as he lays out for us what our lives should look like if we were living lives that were honoring to God. Listen to this. Turn with me first to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, we're going to be on page 818. Colossians chapter 3. Listen to what this says. Colossians chapter 3, an incredible passage dealing with the rules for holy living, if you will. And in chapter 3, verse 12, it starts off and says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Now listen to what he says here. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful." Now, I'll grant you, this particular passage, the context of this passage is speaking to those of us that are believers in the way we deal with each other. But in the bigger context here, it's speaking to a particular kind of lifestyle that should mark us in everything we do, right? It should say, if you bump into a believer, a Christ follower, this is what your life should sound like. It should sound this way. It should sound like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It should sound like peace because we were called to peace. And by definition, when we step into conversation with anybody outside of our circles, if our life sounds any different than that, we've got to ask some really big questions. Look at this. Turn with me to the book of Titus. It's a little further along. Titus chapter 3 on page 828. Actually, 827. Titus chapter 3. In verse 1, it says this. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward" who? "All men." Isn't that incredible? That we are to show true humility, to be peaceable and considerate toward all men. That is what we're called to. That we're supposed to step out there, and this is what should mark our lives. Take a look at Galatians 5. Go backwards a little bit. Galatians chapter 5, going to verse 22. Now this should mark somebody that claims to have the Holy Spirit living in them, and they would claim to have the Holy Spirit living in them if they knew Jesus. Because the Bible says if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And this is what it says. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Isn't that incredible? So listen, let me just be clear on this. That if the Spirit of God lives in us, the fruit of that life in us should be this fruit right here. not a bunch of fruits like you can go, well, love is one of my fruits I have, but I don't have the whole joy thing down yet. This is the fruit. It is a single item. It comes together in one. This is what you should look like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me tell you, if I went onto YouTube and believers in Jesus Christ were this way, it would change everything. Because the reality is, it wouldn't change the truth we hold to, but it would change how people see the truth that we hold to. There is nobody on this planet that wants us to compromise the truth in which we live. I can tell you that for sure, because even people that hate the truth we have, people are looking for men and women that have stood for something. And they want to bump into us, and they want to know that what we say we believe, we believe. So they don't want us to run from the truth. They just want us to be able to dialogue with them in some form of gentleness and consideration so that we can hear their opinions and so that we can talk through them like two civilized human beings. But oh, we could never do that because their truth is evil. And it will destroy our truth. Not if we believe that we hold truth. Turn with me to John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1, in fact, we dealt with this morning. I love the way this is put in John chapter 1 verse 14, speaking of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of what? Full of grace and truth. I love that verse because in that single moment, God tells us something. That tolerance and truth are not diabolically opposed. Tolerance, in some ways, defined by the dictionary, is showing somebody a relative form of grace. It's saying, I respect you enough, and I am interested enough in your opinion that I am willing to dialogue with you about it. I also have an opinion, and I would like you to dialogue with me about mine. And if we are both truth seekers, then in the end, we will find truth, will we not? There's a verse in the scriptures that I've often heard people turn to that are in the truth camp. It's actually found in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want you to go there. I love this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3 on page 841. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, it says this. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Isn't that incredible? Two things are said to us there. What are they? Make sure, if you are a Christ follower, that you always set apart first what? It's not a trick question. Christ, always set apart in your heart Christ as Lord. See that? Can you ever compromise the truth that Jesus is Lord, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but through Him? Can you ever compromise that? No, because here we are told, commanded by God, always set apart in your heart first Christ is Lord. And then it goes on to say, in detail, it says, let's talk about this a little bit more, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So are we to believe something wholeheartedly and uncompromisingly? Yes. Are we to speak of the things we believe? Yes, we are. But look what he says here. He says this. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. That, my friends, is the incredible truth of Jesus that says you hold to truth uncompromisingly and you do it gently and carefully so that all who listen in to you respect what you have to say. And if they don't, if they slander you, let them be embarrassed. And do not be the one that is embarrassed because you slandered. Here's the crazy part. If you ever tolerate tolerance by compromising truth, you are hypocritical. Isn't that crazy? Because you say on the one hand, I believe this, but in order to not offend or to not be in conflict with someone, you will pretend not to believe it. Either you don't believe it or you're hypocritical if you compromise truth. But for those of us that compromise tolerance, that is a fair and objective, gentle discussion with somebody about their opinions and yours, we are bigots. That's what the dictionary says. We are intolerant of others. And you can pick it for religious purposes, ethnic purposes, nationality purposes. Doesn't really make any difference. If you can't stand somebody else or you can't dialogue with somebody else with respect and gentleness because their opinion differs from yours, then you are intolerant. And intolerance is not something we're called to. So how are we to live? Well, it's really not complicated, is it? We are to live just as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us to live. Set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord. Hold to that wholeheartedly. And whenever you are asked, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you. So they were called to know our truth and to know it deeply. Because if we do, then we'll be able to stand with any other opinion on the planet and speak gently and respectfully about it, not worried that in some way it'll derail our truth. I want to leave you with this last thought. I have on my computer screen, it's been a while since I actually had it as my screensaver, but I still keep it in a folder. I have a quote that I once wrote. It was a novel I was reading many years ago, and there was a quote in there that sparked this thought in my mind. So I wrote this quote for myself. It simply says this: everything you know might be wrong. So everything you know should be constantly assessed and abandoned if necessary. I put that in my folder in my computer. Why? It's a dangerous thought, isn't it? Because that means that this might be wrong. That Jesus might be wrong. That the fact that I'm saved in Christ by his work might be wrong. So I need to constantly assess it and be willing to abandon it if necessary. Some people think and see that. In fact, most of the church would think and see that and go, Renaud, you are compromising truth and you are willing to say that you might be wrong about Jesus? And I say, yes, I absolutely am. Why? Because I'm so absolutely sure I'm right that I'm not afraid to possibly be wrong. See, I know that if this is true, I can poke at it, prod at it, jump on it, tear it apart, criticize it, read every book against it, and as I dig deeper, if it is true, when I'm done, it will still be true. And if it's not, then when I'm done, I will have rescued myself from spending my life for Jesus Christ when he wasn't even the right person to spend my life for. See, my confidence in absolute truth is what allows me to be tolerant of other truths. Not tolerant in the sense that I accept them, tolerant in the sense that I respect gently what they have, and I'm willing to dialogue. May we be a church and a people that never compromise truth to keep people happy. But may we be a people that are never unwilling to respectfully, fairly, and objectively walk through someone else's opinion as we present ours. And let God be the determining factor in who he leads to truth. That is how truth and tolerance come together. Set Christ apart in your heart as Lord. Be ready to give an account at any moment for the truth that is in you. And do it gently and respectfully. I promise you, if we live that way, people of 1,000 different opinions than ours will have a deep respect and love for us. And they will come to listen to what you have to say. Isn't that what we want? That people would hear the good news? Well, then let's be people that share it gently and respectfully.